This is Malcolm Ross of Orange Juice, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Accra.
I'm Tom Rowe in Accra with the WGXC headlines for Thursday, February 23rd. President Joe Biden said Wednesday that Russian President Vladimir Putin made a, quote, big mistake, unquote, by suspending his country's participation in the last remaining U.S.-Russia nuclear arms control treaty. A Central Florida television journalist and a little girl were fatally shot February 22nd near the scene of a fatal shooting from earlier in the day. Quote, it is not an exaggeration to say that we live in an age of extremist mass killings, unquote, the report from the Center on Extremism says. The number of U.S. mass killings linked to extremism over the past decade was at least three times higher than the total from any 10-year period since the 1970s, according to the report from the Anti-Defamation League. In 2022, all extremist killings identified were linked to right-wing extremism, with an especially high number linked to white supremacy. A state police major who oversees the Hudson Valley's Troop K is under investigation following a domestic incident last week in which she fired a round from her service pistol into an interior wall of her Greene County residence, officials said. The Greene County Bancorp plans to double its stock shares after the stock price jumped 38% recently. The stock price for the Bank of Greene County's holding company hit an all-time peak in December 2022. The National Bank of Coxsackie is expanding, adding a new lending and administrative office in Latham. And Representative Paul Tonko would like to ban ads for sports betting, but says he is open to some other sort of reform.
Ah, honey, you want to head upstate to Hudson? Check out the hubbub and the hot scene going on up there?
Oh, I don't know, dear. I really love it down here in Scarsdale, New York, and I have a lot of gardening and flower beds to do.
Oh, dear, dear. Let's get up there. Let's see what those 20-somethings are up to. They're so hungry, I love throwing them the blueberry muffins from the Escalade when we drive by.
Oh, that is good sport. You're right, honey. Let's go up the Taconic to check on the 20-somethings in Hudson. None of them have jobs. Let's turn on the radio. Oh, there's nothing here. I usually hear that left-wing, communist, radical, lesbian radio station WGXC. I don't hear it anymore. Honey, what would I do?
I don't know, honey. Try the other band. Try the different band.
Oh, it's not coming in here either. Something's wrong. I hope they're okay. Please, get into my wallet and get the credit card.
Yeah, let me get that credit card. Oh, here's a credit card, honey.
Oh, yes, send them some money immediately. Send them money so they can stay on the air. I love their diverse programming.
Yeah, I do, too. I love that show that plays that music from faraway lands.
Oh, honey, we've got to get up there and help them immediately.
WGXC 90.7. We are here if you're here.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers, and doubters. Tourists and locals, all are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Fridman Gallery in New York, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Daily News for Thursday, February 23rd. Go to the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories. Andrea Macko reports in Porcupine Soup that Congressperson Mark Molinaro holds a town hall meeting February 23rd at 10 a.m. at the Catskill Firehouse at 1 Central Avenue. The meeting was announced with little notice for the public to attend. Molinaro represents the 19th Congressional District, and this will be the first local chance for citizens to question him since he was elected this fall. Read more about this story at Porcupine Soup. Nick Reisman reports in the New York State of Politics that after the Democratic-led state Senate last week voted down her nominee, Justice Hector LaSalle, to lead New York's sprawling court system, she has to pick someone else. On February 22nd, Governor Kathy Hochul said she won't change her approach to picking her second choice. Hochul said, quote, "I will always do what I did before and do in the future, and that is select the person I think is the best individual and the best person to lead an extraordinary court," unquote. The governor also said she doesn't expect to announce another nominee for chief judge until after the state budget is passed. Hochul said, quote, "It's going to take the time required, so the budget is going to be done before then, I suspect," unquote. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. Brendan J. Lyons reports for the Times Union that Dr. David O. Carpenter, head of the Institute for Health and Environment at the University at Albany, quote, "is no longer on an alternate assignment and may now teach and conduct research on campus," unquote. 9 months ago, he was directed to not visit any campuses and to perform his duties from home as the school investigated his extensive work testifying as an expert witness in toxic pollution cases. University officials made Carpenter the subject of a disciplinary investigation last year after a Freedom of Information Law request was filed by an attorney with Shook, Hardy & Bacon, a Missouri law firm that represents Monsanto Company in toxic pollution cases it has faced across the nation. Quote, "UAlbany's investigation regarding Dr. Carpenter has concluded, and no discipline will be imposed based on such investigation," unquote, a university spokesperson said in a statement. Quote, "As is standard, UAlbany and Dr. Carpenter also entered into a conflict management plan to ensure future activities are carried out in compliance with all applicable laws and policies. UAlbany reiterates in the strongest possible terms our full commitment to unfettered academic freedom," unquote. Carpenter says he donates the money he receives from testifying in pollution cases to PhD students and the university's research program. He has testified against Monsanto in numerous, quote, "toxic tort," unquote, cases. Carpenter said February 22nd that he is, quote, "very happy that the university has concluded its investigation and announced that my work as an expert witness did not merit discipline," unquote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Joseph Spector reports in Politico that on February 22nd, the State Department of Labor adopted farm labor overtime regulations. So farm workers will eventually get paid overtime the same way that grocery store workers do. But farm workers won't get overtime after 40 hours a week until 2032. Currently, farm workers in New York do not get overtime pay until working 60 hours in a week. On January 1st, that changes to after 56 hours of work in a week. Labor Commissioner Roberta Reardon said in a statement that, quote, "by implementing a gradual transition, we are giving farmers time to make the appropriate adjustments. These new regulations advance New York State's continued commitment to workers while protecting our farms," unquote. Read more about this story at Politico. And read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom, wgxc.org.
Hello, and welcome to the better weather for Thursday, February 23rd. Local early morning temperatures range from 24 degrees in Voorheesville to 33 in Copake. Regional average soil temperature is 36 degrees. We have snow totals in Catskill and Phoenicia are showing 1 inch. Kinderhook has 2. Halcott Center and Gilboa saw 3 inches of snow. The elevated areas may see a little more buildup this morning as precipitation tapers off by noon. The lower areas should see rain or possibly a mix. The farther north you go, the more it turns to snow. Areas to the north and in the hills could have some tricky driving conditions all day. High of 38 happens at 3 p.m. when rain chances return, getting stronger after dark and ending by morning. A low of 34 will happen just before dawn. Then, temperatures continue to slide downward through a very windy Friday. Temperatures hit 22 by dark. The dip continues overnight, hitting 13 degrees early Saturday morning. With a little luck, it might not get that cold again for quite some time. We get some light snow in the afternoon and a high of 27. Sunday brings a turnaround, hitting 41 degrees and still not entirely dry, but we'll see how those chances change as the weekend approaches. Sunset today will be at 5:23 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:36 a.m. Looking way up, we see X-class flare chances have fallen to 10%, and even though a lot of flares have been popping off lately, none of the recent ones were aimed at us, so no coronal mass ejections are currently expected. Solar wind speed is currently 555 kilometers per second at 9.7 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently bad for long-range communications till dark, with fair conditions below 60 megahertz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 4.6, unsettled. The current sunspot number is 100. And this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate, who are asking for your help during the Winter Pledge Drive. Head on over to WGXE.org, hit the donate button, and help however you can. And let's all crawl out of the cold together.
My people, what can I say? Say what I can. I saw it, but I didn't believe it. I didn't believe it, what I saw. Are we gonna live together? Together, are we gonna live? This is your Mr. Senior Love Daddy talking to you from We Love Radio 108 FM on your dial. And that's the triple truth, Ruth. Today's weather... hot! Wake up!
Don't you fly away.
And in the WGXC community calendar online, you can find so many things to do, some virtual, some in real life, including Friday, February 24th, there's a vigil for the people of Ukraine at the Village of Chatham Gazebo. That's at Hudson Avenue and Park Row in Chatham. It's a vigil for the people of Ukraine, organized by Ukraine Solidarity of Albany and Rivers and Mountains Green Faith. Participants are asked to bring small flashlights and signs, and you can call 518-526-5594 for more information, or go to the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
Members of Russia's forces committed execution-style killings of Ukrainian men, women, and children, tortured civilians in detention, including through beatings, electrocutions, and mock executions.
Beth Van Schaak, U.S. Ambassador at Large for Global Criminal Justice, described some of the crimes against humanity being committed in Ukraine by Russian soldiers. She added Russian forces are deporting Ukrainian civilians, including children. Meanwhile, as Russian President Vladimir Putin suspended the last nuclear arms treaty with the U.S., President Joe Biden reaffirmed America's commitment to Ukraine. The Supreme Court has been hearing cases this week about how the tech industry distributes online content and how much responsibility it should have over such material. The court heard oral arguments in a case surrounding the death of Noemi Gonzalez, a U.S. citizen killed in a terrorist attack in Paris. Her father filed actions against Google, Twitter, and Facebook, claiming the sites should be held accountable for aiding international terrorism since they did not prevent the perpetrators from using the online services. Gonzalez's attorney, Eric Schnapper, described what the case is based on.
They were helping to propagate that content. The argument is we're not trying to hold you liable merely because there's content there, but because you helped to propagate it. Now we would draw a more fine distinction, but I think that's the thrust of that paragraph.
A ruling against Twitter in the case could open the platform, along with numerous others, to lawsuits for hosting terrorist content, despite efforts to remove such material. The court also heard arguments on a similar case focused on Google. A ruling on the Gonzalez case is expected in June. Former President Donald Trump visited East Palestine, Ohio, which is still reeling from a train derailment and toxic chemical spill. President Biden has been chided by Republicans for his handling of the situation, but some blame Trump because his administration's Department of Transportation deregulated rail braking. Trump countered, while President Biden has been giving remarks in Europe on the Ukraine invasion, Ohioans feel betrayed.
This is really America right here. We're standing in America. Unfortunately, as you know, in too many cases, your goodness and perseverance were met with indifference and betrayal in some cases.
Starting in March, the Federal Housing Authority will reduce its annual mortgage insurance premium by 0.3 points, which could save homebuyers and homeowners up to $800 per year. Vice President Kamala Harris spoke about the benefits of this new policy.
We expect that with this new approach, more than 850,000 Americans a year will benefit from this discount. Many will be first-time home buyers.
I'm Edwin J. Vieira for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In 2018, Florida voters passed Article 4, an initiative which restored voting rights to 1.6 million felons who had completed their sentence and parole. In the face of continued efforts by Florida's governor and legislature to block those rights, the Florida organization which led the initiative has been nominated for the 2023 Nobel Peace Prize. The Orlando Sentinel reports that the Florida Rights Restoration Coalition was nominated for its work to change Florida's constitution and for its work following the initiative's passage. While Article 4 passed with over 64% support by Floridians, Florida's governor and legislature are attempting to curb those rights by erecting additional barriers to voting. When the legislature codified Article 4, it added a requirement that all fees, financial penalties, and restitution also be paid before the restoration of voting rights. Most could not pay those fees. In response, the Florida Rights Restoration Coalition helped raise $30 million to assist 40,000 people to pay their fees and regain their eligibility. In 2022, Governor Ron DeSantis created the Office of Election Crimes and Security, which, right before the Florida primary, arrested 19 formerly incarcerated felons whom it said had voted illegally. It was widely seen as an intimidation tactic to keep former felons from voting. We have more on the nomination and the fight for the freedom to vote in Florida at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
Next, from 2022, this is Horse Girl with Anti-Glory from the album Virgins of Modern Performance.
Thank you. ask. I just want to know, what are you going to do for me? I mean, are you going to liberate us girls from male, white, corporate oppression?
Tell like it is.
Huh?
Yeah.
Don't be shy.
Word up.
Fear out of being our power.
Fear. Fear. Black. Fear, baby.
I just want you to know that we can still be friends.
Let everybody know.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Over the last 9 months, Dr. David Carpenter, head of the Institute for Health and the Environment at the University of Albany SUNY, had been restricted in his teaching activities due to a request for information sent by Monsanto, the makers of PCBs, of which Dr. Carpenter is an expert, and which had often testified as an expert witness in cases involving Monsanto's production of PCBs. This Tuesday, after the 9 months, after a big community outpouring of support for Dr. Carpenter, the University of Albany said that he is fully restored, nothing done wrong. As part of our overview of this, we're joined by Rebecca Martin, who is with Riverkeeper, and she was one of the core organizers that mobilized support to get Dr. Carpenter restored. Rebecca, why was this so important, and why did you end up spending so much time helping with the effort?
Yeah, thanks, Mark, for having me. I work for Riverkeeper. I'm the director of community partnerships, and I work on a lot of campaigns, like over a dozen. One of them is on PCBs, and we're in the process of trying to establish a Lower Hudson Community Advisory Group, a CAG, and gearing up for the five-year review. And of course, Dr. Carpenter is someone who has been a great friend to Riverkeeper and to all of us. And so on a call on PCBs with Althea Malarkey, from Scenic Hudson, learned about what was happening. Judith had raised awareness around this. And, you know, it was just a no-brainer. I mean, Dr. Carpenter is beloved to the community, to his students, to environmental groups, to impacted community members all throughout the world, you know. And so... And to think that a corporation, any corporation, would submit a FOIA or do anything at all in that regard, it wasn't hard to imagine. But what was difficult to imagine is how a public institution like a SUNY would succumb to to their requests in any way and jeopardize Dr. Carpenter's intellectual integrity, his academic freedoms, was just, it couldn't stand. And so we mobilized quickly. And at the time I was traveling, I was in Europe. So my first call with the team was at 1 a.m. for me. And, but we had to move. We knew that there was the potential of Dr. Carpenter being asked to sign, to sign off on something by March 1st. And so very quickly we organized, and so many people came to the table, and it was very organic with people taking on tasks and working together for a common goal so harmoniously. And I love advocacy like that. I love
so,
it.
Let me jump in and ask a question. So what, you know, why would a university like Albany, you know, not stand up for one of its own scientists, world-renowned, widely respected, and instead appear to crumble merely from a freedom of information request from a company who's a notorious polluter, not only of chemicals, but now with, you know, genetically modified organisms? There seems to be a real problem with academic freedom in the state university system.
But what we don't know is why did this happen? And I think that this is really important investigative journalism. I'd like to know. You know, it could be a handful of things, right? It could have just been poor judgment. It could have been that there's financial items at stake. It could be a whole host of things.
So we're joined now by Dr. David Carpenter. Congratulations, Dr. Carpenter, well justified. But, you know, what's sort of your reaction to this struggle you had with the university to recognize your academic freedom?
Well, I guess my immediate reaction is relief that this is finally over. However, you know, this leaves a very bad taste in my mouth. Why the university would be so frightened by big bad Monsanto as to keep me on full salary, but prevent me from doing the things that I'm paid to do. I wasn't able to teach. I was specifically, my classes were published, they were canceled. I was forced to go off all of the committees I was on. Now, most faculty don't object to that. But I was not allowed to do anything. And initially, I wasn't even allowed to talk to my own students. So that's excessive response just because of a FOIL request from Monsanto.
And I understand one of these trials involves one of the Native American populations up in the northern part of the state.
Yes, that's the big one that's coming up at the end of March, 1st of April. The Mohawks, with whom I've worked in most of my research on PCBs, is studies in the Mohawk population. They're suing Monsanto for a total of $1.3 billion because not just of harm to individual Mohawks that have diseases caused by exposure to PCBs, but because they've contaminated their whole ecosystem. The air is contaminated. The soils are contaminated. Their PCBs in the tree barks, and they can't eat the fish from their traditional fishing grounds, and they have all these diseases because of that. So this is an extraordinarily important issue. Now, all of us have PCBs in our body, but the more you have, the more likely you are to have these diseases. And the Mohawks, through no fault of their own, are downstream from these three aluminum foundry plants and the Robert Moses Dam, all of which use PCBs that have contaminated their environment.
Now, you know, you were using part of the fees that were given to you as an expert witness to help support, you know, your graduate students, and you weren't allowed to teach. How have your graduate students fared under this situation over the last 9-10 months?
Well, I've been able to continue to support them, so that's not been a problem. The problem is that and a mentor should be available every day to work with them and to answer questions and so forth. So I think my students have suffered much more than I have. I was accustomed to working at home during COVID, so I've continued to be work and have actually been quite productive over this period of time. But my students were not allowed to see me in my office. They could come to visit me at my home. I could Zoom or email with them, but that's not the same as face-to-face meetings on a daily basis.
Now, you know, there were several thousand people who, you know, had signed a letter in your support. And one thing you mentioned were, you know, many of the people you didn't really know, and even people from around the world. You know, what do you think so many people, you know, besides your stellar record of really supporting people and truth and standing up for, you know, those who have been harmed, you know, why do you think so many people jump to your defense?
Well, I think there are two reasons. There are the reasons within the academic community, where academic freedom for faculty to do what their passion is without being hampered by university administrators, is just a very important principle for any person in an academic setting. But many of those people that signed that wonderful email to the president of UAlbany, to the chancellor of the SUNY system, to the governor of New York, these were ordinary community people that have been dealing with for years with local contamination and the health effects that come from those. And I'm not the only one, but I'm certainly one of the people that come from an academic background who does what I can do to help protect people from the hazards of exposure to environmental chemicals, and also from the adverse impact of corporations that make and manufacture these chemicals. And in the case of Monsanto, with both PCBs and Roundup, know that their chemical is dangerous to human health, and yet still sell it just to make a lot of money.
Well, congratulations on well-deserved support, Dr. David Carpenter and this Institute for the Health and the Environment, University of Albany SUNY. This has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
We'll be right back.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Mid-Hudson News reports that Dutchess County Democratic Committee holds its convention on February 23rd and will endorse Marist College professor Tommy Zurhellen to run against Republican Sue Serino for Dutchess County Executive, according to several committee members. Zurhellen, a 53-year-old Navy veteran, is an author and also serves as an advisor on veterans' issues to Democrat Representative Pat Ryan. In 2019, Zurhellen walked across America, averaging 22 miles per day, to draw attention to the rate of veteran suicides, which is 22 per day in the United States. Zurhellen also served as commander of VFW Post 170 in Poughkeepsie and partnered with Hudson River Housing to develop Vet Zero, a program to help veterans with homelessness issues. Zurhellen did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Republican Sue Serino already announced she is running for the same post and was endorsed by former Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro. Read the full story at Mid-Hudson News Reports. Steve Hughes reports in the Times Union that the town of Bern in Albany County held a public hearing on a proposed law that will allow ATVs and other off-road vehicles on some of the town roads. It was an occasionally testy two-hour public hearing that included former town supervisor Kevin Crozier being escorted from the building by Albany County Sheriff's deputies. Dozens of town residents expressed opposition to the proposal at the meeting. The hearing was delayed and moved to the Bern Knox Westerlo High School auditorium in anticipation of a large turnout, and more than 100 people attended. Bern wants to create a series of trails across private land, like the system snowmobiles use for off-road vehicles, which would be allowed on a few town roads to link the trails. Town Supervisor Dennis Palo, a first-term Republican, began the meeting shouting at Kevin Crozier, a Democrat who was town supervisor for more than a dozen years before being voted out in 2017. Palo interrupted Crozier, then ordered deputies to remove Crozier from the hearing, drawing boos from the crowd. He said, and I quote, "I came here as a private citizen to speak, and you saw what happened. It's absolutely amazing. What do you think this says about the way the town board runs?" End quote. Most speakers at the hearing were opposed to the new law. Some said ATV owners currently trespass and damage lawns, fields, and crops in the towns. Others objected to the lack of an environmental review for the proposal and that the town did not have the list of proposed roads approved by the county. Attorney Jeffrey Baker promised a lawsuit on behalf of several town residents if the board approved the law. Josh Duell was one of six people speaking in favor of the proposed law, saying, and I quote, "We're a bunch of families, not criminals," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Porcupine Soup reports that the National Bank of Coxsackie is opening a new lending and administrative office in Latham. The bank now has eight locations in Albany, Greene, and Schoharie counties. The new location is at 1003 New Loudon Road. Bank President and Chief Executive Officer John A. Bally said, and I quote, "We are excited for this opportunity to support our local businesses and enhance our market visibility and employment opportunities," end quote. Read more about this story at Porcupine Soup. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC newsroom, I'm Philip Grand. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with a WGXC Renewable Weather Report for Thursday, February 23rd, and we begin each renewable weather forecast with the price of fossil fuels in Greene County. The Mobil in Caro has gas at $3.43 a gallon. That's the lowest according to the Gas Buddy website. The air quality forecast for Thursday is a 34. That is on the low side. The UV index for Thursday is a 1. That is also on the low side. The water temperature in the Hudson River in Albany is just above 40 degrees. And on average, over the last 10 years on February 23rd, it's averaged just above 36 degrees. So we're almost 4 degrees warmer than the average of the last 10 years. The National Weather Service in Albany says freezing rain will likely continue at least a little bit until 2 p.m. Should be cloudy all day with a high of 35 and a southeast wind 5 to 8 miles per hour spinning local windmills. Thursday night, rain or freezing rain is likely. There is a 70% chance with a low around 26 and a southeast wind 6 to 11 miles per hour becoming northwest 13 to 18 miles per hour with gusts as high as 30 miles per hour for those windmills. Friday should be partly sunny, with the temperature falling to around 19 by 5 p.m., so it gets colder during the day, with a northwest wind 21 to 23 miles per hour with gusts as high as 39 miles per hour. Friday night, it'll be cold, the low around 7. Wind chill values as low as negative 4, with a northwest wind 10 to 18 miles per hour and gusts as high as 30 miles per hour. Saturday, there is a chance of snow showers after 1 p.m. They shouldn't amount to much. There's a 30% chance. Cloudy skies and a high of 25 and a north wind 5 to 7 miles per hour. Saturday night, a low around 14 is forecast. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered radio for open ears.
Beginning, I didn't think anyone could hurt you. Do her thing. She can't change for you. Let her be. Let her be. Let her be free. She's not strange. You can't change her. She has to do her thing. let sneak on an adventure. Comes tomorrow, we'll watch the dawn, the delicate fall.
Cool.